Every one of you all, listen, I know you all watching virtually, but I need you to set the atmosphere in your home. Begin to get your kids up, wake the dog up, let everybody get into the presence of the Lord this morning, wherever you may be at, to allow God to move in your place of worship this morning. So we welcome you guys. We're going to open up in prayer. We're going to have awesome praise and worship, and we're going to get the word of God. So those of you all in the building, if you can, just stand to your feet, amen. If you got some good strength in them legs on this morning, give the Lord a good hand praise, amen. Let's make some noise for the glory of God this morning. You can do better than that. I said make some glory, make some noise for your Savior Jesus Christ. He is our King. He is our Lord. And Lord, we just come before you this morning, God, to tell you thank you on today, God. Lord, we thank you for your presence today, Father God. We thank you for your love, for your grace, for your compassion on today, Father God. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning, clothing our right mind, Father God. We thank you for your grace this morning, Father God. We thank you for your mercy on today, Father God. And Lord, we ask that you will fill this place on today, God. Fill this place with your power, with your glory on today, Father God. As we welcome you in on today, Father God, we welcome your power today, God. We welcome your presence on today, Father God, that your Holy Spirit shall move and reign like never before, Father God. But Lord, we need you on this morning, Father God. We need a touch from you on today, Father God, that you will bring forth your deliverance, God, that you will bring forth your healing on today, God, that you're sending forth life on today, Father God, that you're encouraging the hearts and minds of your people on today, Father God. For those who are feeling depressed, God, those who are in a weary state on today, God, we speak light and encouragement unto them on today, God. And Lord, we ask that you will fill this place on this morning, God. Fill this place with your glory, Father God. Stir up this atmosphere, Father God, that you will be glorified and magnified in this place on today, God. Lord, we thank you for health on tonight, God. We thank you for healing our bodies on today, Father God. That, Lord, you are the author and the finisher of our faith on today, God. And you said that by your stripes we are healed on today, God. And we thank you for healing, God. We thank you for restoration, God. We thank you for peace on today, Father God. And we just speak your anointing, God. We speak your blessings over your people on today, God, as we usher in the praises of God, as we usher in the presence of God this morning, God, let your anointing fall fresh in this place, God, that yokes will be destroyed, God, that burdens shall be lifted on this morning, Father God. And Lord, we love you on today, God, we honor you on today, God, and we exalt you, and we make you large in this place on today, Father God. And Lord, we just say thank you this morning, God, thank you for breath in our body, God, thank you, Lord, for giving us the activity of our limbs today, Father God. Thank you for being clothed in our right mind, Father God. And thank you, Lord, that we had a desire, Lord, to give you praise and worship on this morning, Father God. We lift you up today, God. We magnify you, Father God, for your name is greatly to be praised, God. I need some people that really believe, God, just to begin to shout unto the Lord and make some noise unto his glorious name this morning. For we have entered into his gates with thanksgiving, entered into his courts with praise. For we come to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Where my praise is at, where my worship is at. I need you to make some noise for heaven this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, as the sound comes, as we come to offer up praise, I need you to join in and participate and begin to lift up your Lord and Savior. For he is our King. Come on, the sound.
With power and majesty, dominion, authority, you reign. But that morning he said, get up. You reign. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm feeling pretty good. To just open my mouth and let him know he reigns over everything in my life. He could have said, Tony, stay down this morning, but he said, get up. And I'm looking at a whole bunch of people this morning. He said, get up. So don't be scared to let the Lord know. He reigns. Scared to praise him. Don't be 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 scared to praise him.
Stop worshiping him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ha, shikiri da da ba shi ande. Hande di kiri da da ba bo shi ande. Hey, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We worship and adore you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We bless your name, Jesus. We worship and adore you. From the time. Hallelujah. Jesus, for your glory this morning, God, I will do anything. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Listen at this. Lord, if I find favor in your sight, and Lord, please hear my heart's cry. I'm dead. anything.
I will do anything
just to see you, Jesus. Love is there. Your love is there.
Where you are.
Ooh, love worship him. If he's not there, I don't want to be there. If you're not in it, Jesus, I don't want to be in it. Hallelujah. I want to be, God, in your presence. Because it's fullness of joy in your presence, Jesus. It's peace that's beyond. God all over the room. Come on, worship him. He's great and he's powerful, Jesus. Mighty are you, O God. Mighty are you, O God, in your presence. Come on, Apostle. Hallelujah. Ooh, I gotta be where you are, Jesus. I wanna be where you are, Jesus.
Presence. Hallelujah, Jesus. Wanna be where you are. Wanna be where you are. Wanna be where you are. My God, my God. Come on, give the Lord another good hand praise. For he is worthy of the praise. He is worthy of the honor. He is worthy of the glory. We magnify him in this place. We make him large in this place. For he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is our Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Lion of Judah, the blood and morning star. He's my healer. He's my strength. He's my redeemer. He's my all in all. For without him, I would be nothing. For God, I love you. I give you all the praise. I give you all the honor. For God, you are my King today. And I want the world to know, hey, that it's only by the blood. That it's only by the blood. The blood that was shed on Calvary. That God, you redeemed me and saved me. And you gave me salvation. Oh, I need some people that are grateful and thankful for the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He brought me out of my mess. He saved me time and time and time and time again. When I didn't deserve it, when I didn't deserve it, he yet had mercy on me. He yet had mercy on me. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God, we're thankful this morning. Because it could have been me outdoors with no food. Hey. With no clothes. When I look back over my life and all that he has done for me, my soul looks back in wonder. My soul. To let me a long time ago that I got enough wind in my body, I got enough breath in my body, I got enough strength in my legs, and I feel like running for Jesus for a long time. We got a runner, we got a runner, we got a runner, we got a runner. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. I dare you to magnify him. I dare you to magnify him. If you knew Brother Elijah's testimony, you would help him shout. You would help him give God the glory. Because it could have been me. It could have been me. Jesus. He spared me. He saved me. He redeemed me. My God, my God, my God. Jesus. My God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Listen, we're going to move forward. But before we go there, the last thing I want you to do before we move forward, I believe that the Bible says that when we call on the name of Jesus, I believe heaven has to respond. I believe demons have to bow. I believe everything in the earth has to come subject to the mighty name of Jesus. If I can get about 5 or 6 people that are watching virtually in their home just to begin to raise up a roar in your spirit, and if I can get about 10 people in the house that will rise up a roar in your spirit and just begin to call on the name of Jesus, I'm gonna give you 1, I'm gonna give you 2. At the number 3, I need you to release a sound and cry out the name of Jesus. 3. Christ, he is Lord. Oh my God, my God. Come on, give him a hand praise while you take your seats. My God. I love God. My God. Jesus. God bless you, Brother Jeremy. Amen. Tell Pastor Martin that you're coming over there with fire from NCWC this morning. Just go ahead on and set that stuff ablaze when you get there. We just started it over here. Amen. I release blessings over Mount Olive. Amen. Pastor Wendell Martin and their ministry. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I feel better. It feels good. Amen. The sun is shining. Amen. His glory is raining. Amen. And it's the joy of the Lord that's in the atmosphere. I know you may have came in here frowned up, but I hope to God that he turned that frown upside down by now. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. God is good. Amen. Wow. Listen, we're going to move forward. And I'm just grateful, amen, to be in the house of the Lord and all that God is doing in his presence and how God is protecting us and keeping us and watching over us. I'm just grateful for being in the land of the living. The God, I didn't have to wake up to bomb noises. Fighter jets flying over my head. Grenade launchers going off in the background. I wasn't hiding in a bunker. But by God's grace, he yet covers, he yet protects, and he yet provides for us. So I tell God, thank you for that, Father. Thank you for keeping us and watching over us, Jesus. And we speak strength to the Ukrainian people. We speak peace over that area of that region. And we yet cry out for mercy, God. We yet pray that Russia will turn back and that you will turn the heart of him, Vladimir Putin, toward you, God. That there shall be peace and there shall be a ceasefire released in the atmosphere. And we thank you, Father. And it's in Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. Listen, we're going to move forward, amen. This is our time for our tithes and offering, amen. And we prepare to sow, amen, and to give for God being so good to us, amen. So come on, that's a place to give God some praise. Amen. Those of you all who are watching online, you all can go to our website and give at www.newcovncwc.com. Click the Give tab and you can give toward your tithes and offering, toward Benevolence Fund, and toward our Debt Freedom Seed. That's what we're believing God for, to pay off this building at the beginning of next year, that we will be a debt-free ministry and a debt-free people. Amen. We're believing God for overflow, increase, and favor. Amen. Those of you all who have the Easy Tithe app, you can go to Easy Tithe, click the Give tab, and give as you may. It keeps automatic track of your giving. Every time you give, and you get an end of year statement automatically. Download the app. That's your best way to give. Amen. Those of you all who have the United States Postal Service, and you break out that checkbook, amen, it's number 10,000 now, because you had that same checking account since you was 15. Amen. Come on, I got a witness. Come on, Sister Carolyn. Sister Carolyn's check number is probably about 100,000. She got check number 100,001. Amen. But write that check out and you can put it in the mail. Mail it to 2423 Glenwood Avenue, Joliet, Illinois, 60435. And we'll get that seed. And it's good to see you, Sister Carolyn. Amen. In the house. Those of y'all who need an envelope in the building, please raise your hand. Brother Terrence, our great usher, will get you an envelope. Amen. And while you are getting your envelope and getting your seed ready, I'm going to participate in giving. Amen. Thank you. Those of you all that are in the building, those on my right, if you have your tithes and offering prepared and you're ready to give, please receive from the rear to the front to sow. Ready, please proceed from the rear to the front. Wanted to give. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the tithes and offering this morning, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for every person that had to give on today, God, that you will bless them, Father. And we pray that you will bless those that may not have had it to give on today, that you will bless them on next time, that they will be able to participate, Father. And Lord, we just release blessings, overflow, increase upon the seed that was sown on today, God, that each of us will receive a 100-fold return upon our offering on today, Father. And we pray that it will continue to be used for the work of the ministry and for the building of your kingdom. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, praise the Lord. Are we ready for our announcements this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to have our virtual announcements. Amen.
Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Enjoy and be blessed.
Hello, New Covenant. Join us Tuesday, 8:30 for man's prayer. I'll see you there.
Good morning, New Covenant Worship Center. I'm here to announce that we are starting back our fast on Wednesdays. So join New Covenant Worship Center from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. in our fast. We are praying for the kingdom of God.
Good morning, New Covenant. I'm here to invite you to join us as we pray for peace in our schools. Follow Apostle Jonas on Facebook. It'll be live Wednesdays, 8:30 p.m.
Good morning, New Covenant Worship Center. I'm Sister Natasha, and I'm here this morning to say happy Women's History Month. We want to honor the amazing women in our lives. That could be mothers, sisters, friends, business women, people out in the community, people that we know, everyday women that often get overlooked. So what I'd like you to do is during the week, send me a submission, a quick write-up, and send a picture of that special lady in your life. And each Sunday during the month of March, we're gonna honor them. Thank you so much. Oh, and also make sure you send it to me. You can reply to my email. Just don't hit reply all, hit reply. And that's to NatashaWilliams30@hotmail.com. Thank you so much. Enjoy service.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do we have our Women's History Month presentation of the woman that we need to know? Amen. Come on, Sister Natasha is coming with that information on this morning. Let's give it up, Sister Natasha.
Hello?
Good morning, New Covenant. Okay, so someone you should know. Happy Women's History Month once again. I just wanted to go back to last week because the young lady that we honored last week is here. And I wanted to know if everybody could just stand up with me and just give her a round of applause.
Come on.
And I just wanted to read just a couple of things. I wanted you to know that she said that you are trustworthy, a strong woman of faith, someone that she can count on when she needs prayer and a listening ear or just to talk and laugh with, and that you are strongly committed to New Covenant and the ministries that you are connected to. So, and she says that she can count on you, and she says she loves you. Amen. Amen. Sorry, y'all.
There we go.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure I'm right here. All right. So I have another nominee this week. This is from Sister Shanta. She says, I would like to nominate my sister, my friend, Mrs. Jada T. James. Jada is married to Mr. William James and the mom of three amazing children. Jada has been an educator in the Hillside School District for 24 years and currently teaching second grade. She is an author of a book entitled Overcoming Obstacles. Also, Jada is the proud founder of the very popular Facebook group called Phenomenal Black Woman, PBW. Which to date has currently 54,000 members, where she encourages women to smile. There's an acronym. I'm not sure what it's for, but it's S-M-I-L-E, okay? Oh, here it is, I'm sorry. Support, motivate, inspire, love, and encourage. You can follow her on social media at Jada Tenille James. Amen. Let's give her a round of applause.
Amen. Someone you should know. Amen. We thank God for Sister Shantae. Amen. Nominating Sister Jada. Amen. Thank you, Sister Natasha. Amen. For that awesome presentation. You got one more. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm glad. That's a good thing. People are nominating and bringing them in. That's some good stuff. Amen. Come on.
All right. Now, who is this young lady right here? All right. This is someone you should know. Y'all better come on and give it up for her. Mother of our church. Have y'all heard this woman prayer? Have y'all heard this woman pray? She is a prayer. When I say warrior, she go in deep and she cuts. Okay? So, a woman should know, I would like to take this time and opportunity to gladly nominate my spiritual mother, Mother Etty Jean Simmons, as a notable woman that we should know. This wonderful, awesome woman of God is a prayer warrior who has earned the title of Mother. She prays powerfully, prayers that can pierce all forms of darkness and go straight to the throne room of heaven. Her love for the Lord Jesus is clearly shown by her actions towards anyone that she encounters, which includes family and others. She sets the example on how to give God the praise and worship, and she always remembers to give him the glory due to his name. Her wisdom is truly from God. She makes profound statements, such as the one this past Sunday at church. And I quote, if I can go to the doctor sick, I can go to church sick. I could go on and on. I can go on and on and write a book about Mother Simmons. I'll sum it up with this story from the Bible. Luke 2:36-38. There also was a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. I don't know how long Mother Simmons was married or how long she has been a widow, but I do know that her body is a temple of the Lord, and she worships night and day, and she fasts and prays night and day. To me, she is New Covenant's Anna. I love my spiritual mother in Christ, respectfully and lovingly submitted, by Evangelist Marion Fink.
Amen. That is awesome. Amen. That's it? Oh my God. I would be on point. Amen. I'll make sure we got everybody. Listen, let's give them another hand praise. Amen. Sister Janae and Mother Simmons, Sister Jada. Awesome women of God that we should know. I think it's really good, amen, that we can recognize people that are in our everyday life, that they are currently doing positive and inspirational things to encourage and uplift women on a daily basis, amen. So we appreciate those who are who nominated the women on today, and may God continue to bless them, amen?
Amen.
All right, I think we got all of our preliminaries out of the way. Y'all ready for the word?
Yes.
Amen, praise the Lord. Well, listen, God, this thing is so good in what God is doing. We've been in this series, Whole Life Prosperity, since the start of the year. And we've talked about being whole financially and talked about giving, the importance of that. And then we talked about being whole mentally. And we have started in this particular edition of Whole Life Prosperity about being whole emotionally. It's so important that we understand the power of our emotions. And that we understand that everybody has emotions. You know, you can be angry, you can be sad, you can be upset, you can be happy, you can be joyous. There's so many different emotions that we deal with on a day-to-day basis based on the situation that we're dealt with at that particular time. And it's important to know that if I govern and to begin to discipline my emotions, I can keep my life in balance. I can keep things at peace. I can keep myself moving forward on a consistent basis without having the hiccups, the stumbling blocks where I fall and have to repetitively keep getting up and dusting myself off because I'm emotionally unbalanced. Because emotions will put you in situations that you thought that you were able to handle or deal with, but you don't realize the full consequences till after that thing has fully matured. After you've already had the outburst, after you've already, cursed somebody out, or already told them off, you've already, given them the bird as you drove by, they cut you off, whatever those various things may be. And that's where we have to begin to discipline and put our particular place of emotions in line and in check. Amen. Look at Mother Simmons coming in now. Amen. Ready to praise the Lord. We just celebrated you, Mother Simmons, and honored you for Women's Month. Amen. Evangelist Marion nominated you. Amen. God bless you, Sister LaShonda. Amen. So listen, it's so important that we understand the importance of our emotions. And so last week we started this thing. We're in part two today. And we started last week talking about good old brother Job. Oh, for those of you all who are not Bible familiar, that's Job for you. But those who are familiar with scripture, his name is Job. Amen. So, when you open up your Bible, those who are not as familiar with church, you're going to see Job. So J-O-B, but he's called Job. Amen. But brother Job has been given a challenge by God. And challenged of the enemy to he's been stripped of everything that he possesses. He's lost his material possessions. He's lost his children. And he's at a place of just going through. And he's going through an emotional, traumatic experience that has brought him to a place of being low and bring him to a place of feeling dejected and feeling isolated and left behind and forgotten about. But here it is, he still does not curse God. He still does not put the blame on God because he's lost his possessions. He begins to say, as the good Lord gives, the good Lord taketh away. And so he still yet has an honor and a reverence to know who God is, even in the midst of me losing everything, even in the midst of so much destruction all around me, he still recognizes that God is in control. And that's what happens, that we have to begin to take that posture, that when life happens and things begin to come at us on a day-to-day basis, we get thrown so many different boomerangs and so many different hooks and nooks that come at us and swords and fiery darts, We have to know and trust that God is still yet in control. I may be going through this situation, but it's not a permanent situation. It's a temporary thing that I'm going through. And if I make it through this, it's going to make me stronger. It's going to prepare me for the next thing, because the enemy's not going to stop coming. He's going to keep coming at me. But every battle that I win, it's preparing me and giving me strength to overcome the next. If you've never had any training in particular on the battlefield, how are you going to win the war? You can't give up in the midst of the battle because you lose the faith and the hope of winning the war. I'm here to encourage you to know. I'm here to encourage you to let you know, keep fighting. Tell somebody on Facebook and those on YouTube, begin to put in the comments, keep fighting, keep fighting. Tell somebody sitting around you, keep fighting. So I want to read Job chapter 2. And then we're going to read a little part of when his friends come in and the conversations they begin to have. For those of you all who are familiar with the Bible story about Job, if you've been matriculated through Sunday school any period of time, you've heard about Job and you've heard about what happened to him and how he lost everything. But now this sickness comes upon his body in chapter 2. And then three of his friends show up. Now, for the sake of being 21st century and to make this relevant, we're going to change the names of the characters today. Is that okay? We're just going to change the name of the character so that you can follow along a little bit better. So instead of Job, we're going to call Job Zach today. We're going to call Job Zach. We're going to call his friends Eliphaz. We'll call him Jason. We'll call the other friend Ricky. And we'll call the other one Bobby. This is not New Edition. Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike. Huh. Johnny and Ralph. You got to get the whole group. All five of them. Amen. So let's read and then we'll implement and we'll change the names. Remember, Job is Zach, and we'll get to his friends and we'll call them a name that we can be familiar with and have a better understanding. Is that all right? So let's read and then we're going to get the full gist of where we're going today. So Job chapter 2, I'm in the New Living Translation. Let's start reading at verse 1. Remember, this is day 2. It says, one day, another day comes about after Job has lost everything in chapter 1. Here comes chapter 2. One day, the members of the heavenly court came again to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser Satan came with them. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. And he has maintained his integrity, even though you urge me to harm him without cause. So that's what happened in the first chapter, that you urge me to harm him without cause. So Job had not sinned. Job had not done anything evil, but because Satan came to accuse him, and Satan came to bring up accusation against him, and now God allows Satan to begin to touch his things, his material wealth, his family, and to take those things away. And now here comes Satan again, because Satan wants to destroy you. His ultimate goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. He's stolen from Job. He's killed his family. But now his ultimate goal is to destroy you where there is no evidence of you left behind. And so here he comes with another challenge, and he begins to have this conversation with God in the heavenly court. So in verse 4, Satan replied to the Lord, skin for skin. A man will give up everything he has to save his life. But reach out and take away his health, and he will surely curse you to your face. Now this is the challenge that Satan has put on the table, that he believes that if you would begin to come and remove the protective hand from around Job concerning his health, he will surely curse you to your face. Now, apparently, this is what I need you to understand, because this is where the enemy comes to challenge us with. He comes to challenge our belief and our faith in God and our trust in God. And so every time he's trying to come at you, he's trying to make you doubt God. He's trying to make you begin to bow down to the pressure and the weight that he's applying to you. He's trying to make you give up under the pressure. But if you would hold on just a little while longer, if you would begin to stand and endure hardness as a good soldier, I guarantee you the Lord's hand is not waxed too short that he can't save. I believe he'll reach down and he'll pull you up and he'll deliver you out of that situation. So here, Satan tries to tell God, he said, look, if you take his health, I guarantee you he's going to curse you. I guarantee you He's going to be in a position where he's going to curse you because he's deteriorating in his body. In verse 6, all right, do with him as you please, the Lord said to Satan. But look at this, but spare his life. Oh my God. How many people have lived through some pain? How many people have gone through some health challenges over the years and you've had to overcome, and the doctors thought you weren't going to be able to overcome it. The doctors thought you weren't going to be able to walk again. They thought you weren't going to have the mobility of your limbs. They thought you weren't going to be able to function or have your memory. They thought you were not going to overcome all the injuries and things that happened to you. But you look around and you say, God, I'm still here. I'm still evident that God is still reigning on the throne. I need you to look at somebody. I'm evidence that God is still reigning. Oh my God. Because you're still here, it lets me know that God is still on the throne. It lets me know that God is still merciful. It lets me know that God's grace is sufficient for me, and his mercy endureth to all generations. Oh my God. He said, all right, do with him as you please, the Lord said to Satan, but spare his life. So Satan left the Lord's presence, and he struck Job with terrible boils from head to foot. Oh man, wait a minute. So as soon as Satan left the Lord's presence, he went on assignment to attack Job's health. He released these boils upon Job from head to foot. Now, let's keep reading because I'm going to let you see this. Verse 8, Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Whoa. Wait a minute. Baby, look. You're supposed to be encouraging me in my down place. You're supposed to be helping to heal my wounds, and you're supposed to be there to support and help me. But I learned some years back from Dr. Ari Vernon. He said, we've demonized his wife so many times, but we didn't realize the emotional state that she was going through. She's lost everything she had also because she's married to Job. She lost all 10 of her kids. I went through labor pains with them. Some of them were born premature. Some of them were born with all these issues at the time of childbirth. But God spared them, and they grew up to be fine and functioning well. And I have some emotional challenges that I'm going through because I lost everything around me. And so she's at a place of being frustrated. And she tells her husband, she said, listen, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Are you still trying to live upright? Are you still trying to be honorable before the Lord? See, the enemy will try to get you to compromise who you are with God in order for a convenient solution that will set you up for consequences you're not ready for. I need to help somebody this morning. Because what pressure does, it makes you compromise your integrity and compromise your beliefs, and you find yourself doing things that you thought you'd never do before. You find yourself stripping on the pole because you say, I gotta take care of my baby. I gotta take care of my kids. I need to put some food on the table. Oh, did I just say that out loud? I know. I didn't say who it was because I don't know your story. But somebody had to do something that they may have compromised their integrity, something that you may not be proud of, but you know what? Along the way, it was a part of my process. But I thank God I'm not on the pole no more. I need some ex-strippers that's watching online. Don't be ashamed and just say, I came down. Oh, Jesus. Oh, listen. I got Mother Cynthia with it. She said, yay, Lord. Come on. Come on, we got to tell the whole truth and shame the devil. Is that right, Mother? So he said, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. Now, why does she say that? Is the enemy not using her at this moment? Why would she say curse God? Because that's what the thing that Satan said that Job could do in order to prove that he was not who he says he is. That he would prove to God that he doesn't have the integrity level that you think he has. You know, he doesn't have the uprightness and walking with you as close as you think he is. If he would just curse God and die. Listen at verse 10. Job got enough sense. He's emotionally unbalanced right now. He's going through. He's scratching. He's scraping. He's itching. He's got all his issues and he think about his family gone. And he said, now his wife is coming to challenge his integrity. But Job replied, you talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? So in all of this, Job said, nothing wrong. Oh, my God. So Job said, listen, I understand the process and the thing I'm in right now. I know it looked jacked up, but I'm not going to respond out of my emotions. And see, what happens is, because we're under that pressure, our emotions will begin to rise up and allow us to make decisions that will hinder and harm us more greatly if we would just take the patience to wait. Oh, my God. So listen, this is what happens. And we got to move fast, y'all. At this point, he's had his conversation with his wife. Now, the word has gotten around town. Y'all heard what happened to the upright man? Y'all heard what happened to the man that was the richest man in the East at that time? He's lost everything. How could that be? How could that happen? But when you're in a low place, it's good to have somebody that will come sit with you and aid you and help you go through your process of healing and restoration. You need a support system. And so Job has a support system that shows up. But at the end, they show up with the wrong intent at heart. So let's begin to read this and then we're going to move forward. It says, when three of Job's friends heard of the tragedy he had suffered. Listen, ain't it something how fast bad news travel? When I was doing good, I never saw you. You didn't come visit me when I was doing well. You didn't come and play with me and have some fun with me and say, let's go out to dinner. But as soon as tragedy hit, everybody's at the door trying to figure out, well, what happened? Well, y'all, what did Job do? And what's going on with Job? And he had all this stuff because they was being nosy, y'all. Because some folk ain't there to encourage you. They there to be nosy and try to figure out what's really going on. They trying to find out, well, what really happened? Well, who you really do? What really went on? So when three of Job's friends heard of the tragedy he had suffered, they got together and they traveled from their homes to comfort and console him. Now, they went there to comfort and console him. That's on the surface. See, that's on the surface because when people show up at the door, you think they're coming for the right reason. Oh, my God. So let's keep reading. It said their names were Elphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, Zophar, the Nahamite. So Elphaz is going to be Jason. We got who? Ricky. And we'll do Mike. So when they saw, remember Job is Zach. So when they saw Zach from a distance, they scarcely recognized him. Wailing loudly, they tore their robes and threw dust into the air over their heads to show their grief. They sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 days and nights. No one said a word to Zach, but they saw that his suffering was too great for words. 7 days, they sat in silence, watching him scratch, watching him trying to ease the pain of the boils. Watching him in agony and distress. I don't need you to just sit in silence. I need you to begin to find a way that you can really comfort and console me for the reason that you said you came here. And sometimes we're so emotionally distraught and detached that we allow people around us in our time of tragedy and hurt and going through and the traumatic season, and we find out they can do more harm than good. This is why you have to be mindful of the company you keep, of the friends you associate with, of the people that are around you. And so now, I want to do this. Let me go to my notes because everything is my, I'm going to get my other notes and we're going to move forward real quick. We're going to paraphrase. So now, this is what happens along the way of them sitting after the 7 days. Job begins to talk in chapter 3 and he begins to curse the day he was born. So he begins to get into a place. He said, I wish I would have died when my mother gave birth to me. I wish I had not even been born because of the pain and the agony he was in. How many of us have had that type of emotional stress and strain on our life where we just said, you know what, God, I just wish I wasn't even born because it's too much I'm going through. You know, my mama left me early. You know, my daddy died and you know, my brothers and sisters abandoned me and you know, and people have always looked down on me. I've always been the black sheep of the family. And you just thought that the way out was this. I wish I would have never been born. So this is the mindset, because when you're emotionally out of balance, the enemy comes to bring all these thoughts into your mind and he tries to bring you to a place to keep bringing you down. down, because he's trying to weigh you down, because he wants Job to curse God. He wants Zach to curse God. So now what happens is, as he begins to give his response, his friends begin to talk. And they begin to have these conversations throughout the book. And we're going to, I'm going to pull out some words that each of them said to Job so you can see where they were at. Is that all right? And then we're going to conclude at chapter 42, and we're going to be done with Job, and we're going to be not done with this emotional part of this being whole emotionally, but we're going to be done with this. We got two more weeks of this. And then our next series is going to be absolutely phenomenal. Somebody tell somebody, I'm a kingdom citizen. That's our next series, y'all. Kingdom citizens. Kingdom citizens. Amen. We're going to start that in April. It's going to be phenomenal. I'm telling you, God laid it on me Thursday morning riding to work. And I said, God, this is good. So listen, y'all ready? So, old Jason, remember that's Eliphaz, Jason said, will you be patient and let me say a word? For who could keep from speaking out? In the past, you have encouraged many people. You have strengthened those who were weak. Your words have supported those who were falling. You encouraged those with shaky knees. But now when trouble strikes, you lose heart. You are terrified when it touches you. Doesn't your reverence for God give you confidence? Doesn't your life of integrity give you hope? That's what Jason said in Job chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. So this is his conversation back to Job, back to Zach. What Zach is saying to him, what Jason is saying to Zach, he's having this conversation telling him, look, he said, doesn't your reverence of God give you confidence? Doesn't your life of integrity give you hope? But he's really speaking condescending toward Zach. And he's trying to get him to find a way. Because what they're saying is, it had to be some sin in your life, Zach, that caused all this calamity. Because that's the people looking from the outside looking in. They're automatically assuming that you had to fall away. They're automatically assuming that there's something that you did to miss the mark. And now these are the consequences of your situation. So now, let's look at one of Job's responses in chapter 7, which is Zach. Zach says, my body is covered with maggots and scabs. My skin breaks open, oozing with pus. My days fly faster than a weaver's shuttle. They end without hope. Oh God, remember that my life is but a breath, and I will never again feel happiness. You see me now, but not for long. You will look for me, but I will be gone. Job chapter 7, verses 5 through 8. Listen at the disappointment in his conversation. Listen at the hopelessness in his words. Because he's allowed his emotions to take control of him, the only thing he sees himself is leaving here. He sees himself dying in this situation. But I'm here to encourage you, if you would gather yourself and you would begin to get your emotions intact and begin to look to God, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. If you look to him, if you would begin to look to him and trust and believe in the power that he possesses, he can bring you out of that situation. I know it looks like you're going to die right there, but that's not where God's choosing for you to live. End your life at right there. That's not where it's over with. I know people around you said, oh, he died right there. It's over right there. You're not going to make it out of that situation. God can't bring you out of that. You've gone too far. No, I'm going to let you know, nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible to those that believe. I need you to encourage yourself and tell yourself, I believe. Oh, Jesus. So now, here comes Bildad. His response, we call him Ricky. Yeah. So Ricky says, I'm in Job chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Okay. So Ricky says, then Bildad the Shuhite replied to Job, how long will you go on like this? You sound like a blustering wind. Does God twist justice? Does the Almighty twist what is right? Your children must have sinned against him, so their punishment was well deserved. But if you pray to God and seek the favor of the Almighty, and if you are pure and live with integrity, he will surely rise up and restore your happy home. And though you started with little, you will end with much. Just ask the previous generation. Pay attention to the experience of our ancestors. That's Job chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Listen to what he says. This is the part. He said, your children must have sinned against him, so their punishment was well deserved. Now, how am I going through and you're going to tell me that my children lost their life because of the sin, because they committed sin? Don't you know I offered sacrifices for them just in case they did sin? I was on the altar praying for them, interceding for them. Now you're coming at my prayer life. Now you're coming at my place of living in a place of integrity that I believe, God, that even if they did sin, I stood in the gap and prayed that God would wash it away, that God would begin to have mercy and grace upon their life. And so now you're trying to tell me that my children deserve that? Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? And this is what people will begin to do to you, because they're constantly trying to bring you to that place of cursing God and dying in that situation. But that's not the best plan for your life. I'm here to encourage you, to let you know, baby, you got some more living to do. Baby, you got some more believing to do. You got some more people to encourage. You got some more work to do on that job. You got that business to open. You got grandchildren you need to begin to see. I need you to release your faith and say, I'm not going nowhere till it's my time. Listen, listen. Last person. Ricky. Zophar. So then, this in Job chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, and then verses 13 to 15, and then we're going to Job 42, and we're going to close it out. We're going to be done for today. Then Zophar, the Nahite, replied to Job, shouldn't someone answer this torrent of words? Is a person proved innocent just by a lot of talking? Should I remain silent while you babble on? When you mock God, shouldn't someone make you ashamed? You claim my beliefs are pure and I am clean in the sight of God. If only you would prepare your heart and lift up your hands to him in prayer, get rid of your sins and leave all iniquity behind, then your face will brighten with innocence. You will be strong and free of fear. So here go Ricky telling Zach, if only you would prepare your heart and lift up your hands and to him in prayer and get rid of your sins and leave all iniquity behind you. So here it is. Ricky is condemning Job. He's condemning Zach and trying to bring condemnation and shame upon him. How is it that you're going to condemn me for something that I have not even done? You're trying to bring guilt upon me and shame upon me for something that I'm innocent of. I haven't sinned against God. I haven't done anything wrong. But you're constantly trying to put me in a place of condemnation. So this is why you have to be mindful of the people who are undercover jealous of you. When you're at a place and you're rising up and you're elevating and you're going to the next and doors are opening for you, you're starting to prosper, things are starting to get on the right track, and they're looking around at you trying to figure out, well, why are you blessing them, God? Well, God, what's so good about them? And why are they having the joy of the Lord? Why are they always excited and happy about the goodness of the Lord? You got to be careful of those who will underline and be jealous, trying to tear you down and destroy you, to get you to a place of condemnation, to try to make you feel as though you don't deserve what God has blessed you with. I'm here to let you know, baby, that God has given me everything that I desire because I walked up right before him. He said he will withhold no good thing from those that walk up right before him. And that's what God has done to brother Job. That's what God has blessed him with. And I'm here to let you know, I'm not going to die because you see something in me that's not in me, and you're just trying to make me in a position to die and give up on God. I'm not going to fall for it. I'm going to close my ears, and I'm going to turn my back to the wall, and I'm going to begin to face the wall like Flint and begin to stand there like Hezekiah said and ask God, can you give me more time to live? Can you give me another opportunity to move forward? Because I'm not going to listen to the people who are trying to bring me to a place of guilt and condemnation. I'm not going to make a decision in my emotions and give up on you and curse you. I know how faithful you are. I know how good you've been to me. I know how you kept me and blessed me from evil. I am grateful that you have kept me over the years. But God, even though you took away my possessions and my family, I know I'm scraping and scratching and itching. But God, I still love you. So now, let's go to Job 42 and we're closing. Because what happens is, this conversation, so for 41 chapters, until we get to 42, all these conversations between his three friends and God, because God shows up and he speaks and tells Job about himself. Because Job, he had to understand and know of the goodness of God. and he can't figure God out. And see, sometimes we try to figure God out. And we say, God, well, why me? Why I had to go through it? Why I had to go through that particular challenge? Why it had to be part of my story? But God knew who can handle it. He knew who had the strength to bear it. Because he knew you would come out and give him the glory. He knew you would come out and say, it was nobody but the Lord that brought me out of that. I can't give nobody else the credit. It wasn't me. It wasn't my knowledge, my education. It wasn't my background. It wasn't my bank account. It was only by the goodness of the Lord that you redeemed me and saved me. So listen, let's go to Job 42 and we close. Let's start and look at verse 7. After the Lord had finished speaking to Job, he said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, I am angry with you and your two friends. Wow. What? So all that stuff they were coming at Job with, God heard all that. God saw their actions. See, this is why you have to be careful and understand, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. You don't have to seek out recompense for your own self or revenge. God will begin to handle those situations if you would just wait. He said, after the Lord had finished speaking to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I am angry with you and your two friends, for you have not spoken accurately about me as my servant Job has. He said, you all have not spoken accurately about me as my servant Job has. Notice the status that Job still has. He's still recognized as a servant. I'm here to let you know, baby, I don't have to be the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the pastor, the elder, the usher, the deaconess, the deacon, or the evangelist, or whatever name or title you put me on. I want to be at the gates and say, good and faithful servant, job well done, and come on in into the heavenly court. I need some people that believe, God, that I am a servant unto Christ until the day I leave this earth. And he called Job his servant. Verse 8, he says, so take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer a burnt offering for yourselves. So you mean to tell me that everything his friends said about him, talked about him, that now they got to bring an offering to Job because they misrepresented God and misrepresented Job. He said, you got to bring an offering and then I'm going to have Job pray for you. But listen, this is the key, because I'm going to help you. Because, let me read it, because I don't want to get ahead of myself. Listen what it says. My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer on your behalf. Right. So Job becomes the intercessor. Yeah. I'm going through emotionally, but God saw that I stood the test of time. I overcame all of the people that tried to condemn me, that tried to bring guilt and shame on me. I still stood and I still walked upright before God. I held on to my integrity. And now God says that you're going to be in a position to pray for the very ones that tried to curse you. Do you have that type of confidence and faith? Because the Bible says, pray for those that despitefully use you. Pray for those that curse you. You got to begin to speak good of those that speak evil of you. This is an opportunity for God to get the glory out of Job's life. See, this is where you see the power of God move, is that you can get out of your emotions and not condemn them, not seek revenge on them. But God said, pray for them. He said, my servant Job will pray for you, because I'm telling you, that's where the blessing happened. My servant Job will pray for you and I will accept his prayer on your behalf. I will not treat you as you deserve. Wait a minute. So you mean to tell me my prayer for my enemy will save them from the full wrath and the consequences that God was going to impose on them because they did me wrong and they did God wrong? Oh, y'all missing this thing. That takes compassion. That takes love. That takes the place of having a heart of God. And so he says, he goes on, he says, my servant Job will pray for you and I will accept this prayer on your behalf. I will not treat you as you deserve, for you have not spoken accurately about me as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zohar, the Naamanite, did as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. So they had to come subject to God. Mm-hmm. and to get themselves out of their prideful place of trying to condemn Job and now submit to God's hand and do as God commanded them to do. And listen what happened in verse 10. Oh, this is the best part. This is the best part right here, verse 10. I need you to highlight it. I need you to make a note by it. I need you to put an asterisk, because this is where you get the victory. Because you don't act and respond in your emotions. When you're emotionally whole, you'll be able to do verse 10. Y'all ready? When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. I'm going, y'all. If you don't shout right there with me, if you don't believe God right there and give God the glory, oh, you better do better than that. He said that when Job prayed, that God restored all of his fortunes because he prayed for his friends that came at him like they weren't friends, but they ended up being in a position they had to give an offering, that Job had to pray for them, and God began to restore them. Do you have the faith enough to pray for the ones that tried to condemn you, for the ones that tried to pull you down, for the ones that talked about you? If you want your emotional health to be restored, you got to pray for the one that put you in distress.
Uh-oh. Y'all missed it. You missed it.
Let me say it again. You got to pray for the one that caused the distress in your life. And his friends will call to him distress. Over and over, having these conversations, giving Job a place of doubting God, being weary, losing hope, losing faith. But Job, in verse 10, when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. Oh my God. Then, verse 11, all his brothers, sisters, and former friends. See, I told you they were only with you because you had something. They were only with you because you would take them to dinner every weekend. They were only with you because you would go give it up real quick. Huh? Are we going to tell the truth in this church? Soon as you close up the job. Text me in 3 days. She ain't called me in a week. Soon as you close up the job, they cut off their communication. You don't hear from them because you were giving them what they wanted. You were giving them everything they needed from you, and they were just there to take. Listen to what it says. Then all his brothers, sisters, and former friends came and feasted with him in his home. Now, what kind of grace does Job have that you welcome me and your former friends? Y'all done hearing this. See, this is where the challenge come in at. Baby, if you, I've been in ministry 25 years. Next year I'll be pastor 20 years. Baby, some folks done hurt me. Some people have disappointed me. Some people have talked about me, lied about me, in my face, behind my back, right next to me, standing, walk with me, all of that good stuff. Baby, I still can pray for you. I can still love on you and welcome you in my house, because the grace of God is more greater and bigger than my issue that I gotta have with you. I don't gotta keep holding on to that mess from 10 years, 5 years, 15 years ago. If you ain't got free now, baby, you need to ask yourself, am I really saved? Jesus. He said that because he said that they consoled him and comforted him because of all the trials the Lord had brought against him. Now when they see him restored, they realize God is with him.
Come on.
See, when everything was trying to tear me down and I'm still here, they still trying to figure out. There's some folks still trying to figure out, how did they do that? How did they come out of a greenhouse and reach over here to the west side of Joliet and get this place in this short amount of time? And then you're going to testify, they're going to pay it off. And they only been in ministry 13 years. Who do that? How they do that? It's by the grace of God. And it's because God loves us and he cares for us. And you can't let nobody that's talking hinder your vision and hinder what God wants to do in your life. You got to not even focus in, turn them off, don't listen, don't pay them any attention, and stop responding to every post they put on Facebook, baby. You don't have to oblige or give your opinion on every negative thing that you think they talking about you about. It wasn't even you they was talking about. It was the other friend. But you got offended and thought it was you, and now you done started a war with somebody you was friends with, and now y'all upset with each other because it was a misunderstanding because you read the text wrong. Can I help somebody get free this morning? Well, can I get two amens?
Amen.
We got to close, y'all. Listen. He said, and they consoled him and comforted him because all of the trials the Lord had brought against him. And each of them brought him a gift of money. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. My former friends had to bring an offering. Now, Ryan's still my friend. I'm just an illustration. He's going to he gonna take the offering. You can receive it. That's my, I need the receipt, though. You can hand it off. So, here it is. That's yours. I just put it in your hand. Now, I'm sowing a seed. Now, you was in for the illustration. You just happened to be right here. So, now receive it. So, here the enemies, the former friends, got to come and sow and give into Job's life because God will use your enemies to be your footstool. The very ones that counted you out, baby. The very ones that doubted you. The very ones that said you wasn't gonna make it. The very ones that said you should have died on the south side, the east side, in that hole, in that gutter, when that man put his hands on you, he wasn't supposed to. That's the one that they thought. They said, oh, she ain't gonna make it. Oh, but I'm still here, baby. And I'm here to declare that the goodness of the Lord is moving on my behalf. And I'm not gonna give up. And now you gotta repay me, baby, for all the hell you put me through. Somebody say restitution. I told y'all we got to finish. And each of them brought him a gift of money and a gold ring. Need some blinged out people. I need them nugget rings back. The old player. On that pinky finger and that pinky finger next to it. They just hold their keys like this. They ain't even gonna go to their car. They're holding their keys like this so you can see their ring. Jang-a-lang, jang-a-lang, jang-a-lang. Jang-a-lang, jang-a-lang. That's 65 and older players. That's the 65 and older players. Come on, y'all, stay focused. That's your uncle, y'all. Be for real. That's a... Uncle Junebug, you know how to be. Hey there, baby, how you doing? Verse 12. Stay focused, y'all. Come on, come on back. Verse 12. So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life, even more than in the beginning. For now he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 team of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. He named his first daughter Jemiah, the second Keziah, and the third Karen Hepush. What? How you live long enough for God to give you back children? That God will allow your wife to birth out the things that were destroyed and taken away from you. And he goes on, he says, in the land, in all the land, no women were as lovely as the daughters of Job. What? They was fine, y'all. I ain't talking about them Kardashian girls because they've been made up. They done bought all their equipment. These girls was naturally beautiful. It says, and their father put them into his will along with their brothers. Job lived 150 years after that, living to see 4 generations of his children and grandchildren. Then he died, an old man who had lived a long, full life. Close the book. God withstood the emotion, Job withstood the emotional test of what his friends were trying to get him to curse God. trying to get him to bring condemnation and guilt and shame upon his life. He stood and God redeemed him. God said he gave him twice as much, but the only way he was released is that he prayed for his friends. I'm here to encourage you, no matter what emotional place you find yourself in, no matter how hurt they may have hurt you, it's okay that you be able to pray for them and ask God to heal them. Ask God to have mercy on them. Because your prayer of your enemy may be the very thing that will be able to, that's holding up your breakthrough. So this is why you got to be in a position, you got to be willing to forgive and allow God's mercy to minister to your heart. Because God has forgiven us time and time and time and time and time and time, thousands and hundreds, millions of times over. And God said, if you don't forgive your brother, how can you expect me to forgive you? So when he prayed for him, God said, I see you, man. You my servant. I'm getting ready to bless you with twice as much. And then on top of that, your former friends and your sisters and your brothers gonna bring you money and gold. What? So what I'm here to let you know is, if you gotta start over, God got a way of providing for you. You've been holding on to somebody that you thought you needed to take care of you. Baby, I'm here to let you know, baby, you can start over. You can start over and God will redeem you and God will bring you to the place of having more than enough. I'm telling you, Job is evident that he lost everything, but because he kept his integrity, he stayed connected to God, he believed God, God brought him out, and he blessed him with ways that he could not even imagine. Because God will use who he chooses to use. Amen? Give the Lord a hand praise. Listen, we're going to prepare and receive our communion. And then we're going to bless our first time guests that they're going to get an opportunity to get entered into this drawing. So if this is your very first time here, if you get a piece of paper or something, put your name on it, because we're going to put it in a hat after we do this communion. And we're going to bless you. We got two gift cards to give away. I don't know how many first time guests here, but you'll have an opportunity to win for your first time visiting. We got to see some in the building. We're going to take our communion first, but get a piece of paper, write your name on it. We're going to pull your name after this communion, and it's going to be well. Wow. Y'all, come on. You all can stand and we prepare to receive our communion this morning. I'm expecting God's getting ready to do something big. I just been sensing it the past few days. God's getting ready to do something big and miraculous in your lives. I'm believing God for that. I'm telling you, I feel it. I sense it that God's getting ready to release him. I'm telling you. That stuff Job struggled through, he brought him out of it. Wow. After he was trying to die, God said, you're going to live. Jesus. Amen. Listen, this is our time of communion. This is our time that we remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross for our sins. And that the Bible says, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do show forth the Lord's death until he comes. So this is an opportunity for us to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, and that we would be forever grateful and honoring him and giving thanks to him for sacrificing and giving his life for us so that we can be saved and we can be put back into right relationship with God. So let's bless this communion and prepare to receive it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of communion today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have offered your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And God, as we do this in remembrance of you, Father, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise. And we ask that as we partake in this communion today, Father, that you will bring forth healing, deliverance to our bodies. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. The word of the Lord says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as you're getting your communion, I'm going to read this, starting at verse 24. And he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, in agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourselves. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some of you have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So, my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. If you are really hungry, eat at home so you won't bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together. I'll give you further instructions about the other matters after I arrive. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Does everyone have the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? This bread represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah. May we all eat together. This juice represents the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary for the remission of sins. May we all drink together. Amen. You all may be seated. We're going to do this real quick and we're going to dismiss. If this is your very first time visiting New Covenant Worship Center, visiting this building, you're here, please stand on your feet. And I just want you to introduce yourself and who invited you out and how you enjoyed the service. And we'll even greet you at the end of service for being our first time visitors on today. And even a visitor, amen. So I'm gonna start on my left, the young gentleman that's standing next to Brother Elijah. Can you give us your name and who invited you out? Yeah, yeah, come on. Come on, man. How you doing? What's your name? Roberto. Come on, let the people know who you are.
All right, my name is Roberto. I'm 17, and my uncle invited me to come
with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. How you enjoy the service? Amen. Good to see you, man. You're welcome to come back anytime. God bless you. Amen. Come on, y'all give it up. My man Roberto said, "I'm going to come to the front." That's courage and that's confidence. That he's not afraid to speak before a crowd. Amen. That he has confidence. Amen. Other first time visitor, come on. What's your name?
My name is Sheila.
Sheila?
Yes.
Welcome. Who invited you out?
Well, between the two, Eliza, I've known for quite a long time. And then Tracy here invited me as well.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Sister Sheila. Welcome here to New Covenant Worship Center. We appreciate you, amen, being in the building. On my right over here, come on, young man. He gonna come on up too. Come on, I love this. Shoot, y'all better let somebody know about it. New Covenant Worship Center, first time business in the place. This man, God bless you, man. Come on, tell us who you are.
How everybody doing? My name is Lewis. Nice to meet y'all. And, nice to meet you too. I was invited by Karen.
Amen. Prophet Karen. All right. Praise the Lord. Welcome. I love this. Come on up to the front. They just, I'm excited. Yes. Come on, beautiful young lady. Come on. Come on up. How you doing? Welcome. Good.
Hello, how you doing? My name is Tania. I was invited by the family of Vivette Manning, which is one of my friends as well. Thank you, Tracy, for inviting me. I really needed this word today, like really needed it, and I'm so happy and so blessed that you, thank you, invited me into y'all church family. Thank you so much.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Any other first-time guests? Now, I need you guys to put your name on a sheet of paper or something, and we're going to put it in a hat, and we're going to pull your name, and somebody's going to win a gift card today. We got two to give away, so the odds is you got a real good chance. You ain't had that many first-time guests. You got a real good chance your name popping up. This is good. I appreciate you all for inviting people out to the ministry and being here today. It's absolutely awesome and amazing, and we thank God for you all being here. And thank God for our second time visitor being here. She was here on last week. Wave your hand. You was here last week. What's your name again?
Penny.
That's it. Sister Penny. Amen. Welcome again, Sister Penny. She stays in the neighborhood, and she came back today. She was here on last week. I appreciate her and appreciate her for being in the building. Once you get your name on the card, give it to Deacon Ryan. He's standing in the aisle right there. Raise your hand, Deacon Ryan. Raise your hand in the air, wave like just don't care. Dick, we got to celebrate. Y'all been married 52 years today, right? 53. Deacon Jerry and Sister Carolyn are celebrating their 52nd wedding anniversary. Y'all better give God some glory. I'm telling you, God is good. Won't he do it? Will he, won't he? Aha! That's a blessing. My God. I'm telling you, God is good. 52 years. And they only like 55. That's good, though. That's a blessing. Listen, before Deacon Jerry and Sister Karen leave out, see one of them, put something in their hand so they can get some dinner today. Put something in their hand. I gave all my cash out, but I'm going to get some cash. I'm going to get some cash to them. Before y'all leave out, make sure you drop something in their hand. If you got $1, $10, $100, bless them before they leave. You know, they don't have Zelle. Okay, just fold the cards up. Mm-hmm. Just fold them up. We got one more coming. You know what I love? You see how they running the soul? Look at Brother Vincent. Brother Vincent, good to see you, man. Sister Melissa. Sister Gigi. They running the soul. When you have that type of urgency and you know that I'm sowing into good ground because I'm expecting a harvest. I'm telling you, God is good. I need a young person. Let's see. I think they all downstairs. But Janae is headed up here. Come on, Janae. Yeah. You pull one? Thank you. First name, out the hat. Brother, Roberto. That's a $50 gas card, amen. Good at Speedway, any Speedway, amen. I'm telling you, listen, y'all don't know the anointing that's attached to Brother Elijah. Because him inviting his people today, and he sowed a seed in somebody's life last week. Now, Sister Sheila is the other person who received the $50 gift card. Well, today is your day. God bless you.
Thank you.
Amen. So we appreciate you all for being here, for coming out, fellowshipping today. Thank you all so much. This is our family and friends day. We welcome all our family and friends that came out today. I'm telling you, God is good. Amen.
Amen.
So listen, did you text me, Pastor Lee?
No, I did not.
Okay. Somebody cash at me for Sister Carolyn and we'll get them. Okay. Somebody sent y'all $50. I'm going to get it to you. Ooh, won't he do it? I cannot deal with it. I can't. I'm not. I'm going to stay focused. Listen, if you want to cash at me or something, I can cash at it and I'll get it to them back tomorrow. Or I can get it to them. There's no worries. But listen. The young lady who I was ministering to while I was ministering. Can you stand up in the black? And we ready to go home. God brought you here today because he wants you to be encouraged to continue to hold on and to not lose hope. The things that you had to endure, the things that you have gone through have been for a purpose. And they have been for you to be able to share the testimony when the fullness of your story is complete. There's some things that you've never shared with people concerning your testimony. There's some things that nobody knows that you've had to go through but you. And God is allowing you to be able to go through those times and those seasons because it's going to be a time because somebody's going to need what you've been through because they're going to be right in the midst of that same thing. And God does not want you to walk in shame or guilt. He wants you to walk in the confidence of the Lord, knowing that he is concerned about you and he's watching over you and he is going to do everything he's promised you. God said, don't be afraid to ask him for what you have need of. He said, ask him for what you have need of. Don't allow the guilt and the condemnation to prevent you from asking God. Because what happens is sometimes we think I'm not worthy. Sometimes we think that God, I know you're not going to bless me because I got to get myself together. That's what we tell ourselves. That's the trick of the enemy. I got to wait. I got to get myself together so God can bless me. No, God will bless you so that you will move to the place to know that he is already working it out for you. He's already moving on your behalf to encourage you to get close to God, to encourage you to move forward in the things of God. So stand, God says. He says, stand. He said, don't give up. I'm telling you, don't give up. Because there's been some dark moments, but God said, you're not, don't give up. And stand on his promises. Amen. God bless you. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Now, I'm telling you, I sense something miraculous is going to happen. And I'm getting ready to release it over our lives. Everybody that's under the sound of my voice on Facebook, on YouTube, everybody's in the building. I'm going to release and declare that God is releasing supernatural financial breakthrough and abundance over your life. For God is getting ready to do something supernatural for you. I'm calling for debt cancellation supernaturally. I'm telling you, I'm believing God. I'm in expectation. And if you set your heart in expectation toward the things of God, I'm believing for a mighty move of God. So just wherever you at, lift your hands and receive it. Heavenly Father, right now, God, I thank you, Lord, that we're standing in great expectation. for you to move on our behalf, that you're going to do something great. You're doing something miraculous. You're doing something spontaneous. You're doing something that is uncommon in our life concerning financial breakthrough, concerning healing, concerning deliverance, that God, you know the needs of your people. And I release supernatural debt cancellation. I release supernatural increase and overflow, that everyone's financial needs will be met, and that God, we're going to experience life to the fullest. I prophesy vacations on the beach. I prophesy time away from work. I prophesy that you will have time to refresh. I prophesy that you will live your life and go out to dinner and go to movies and experience new things. You'll go to Broadway shows. I call for new opportunities, God, new doors that will open up. I decree and declare by the power of the blood of Jesus. You said in your word, I can decree a thing and it shall be established. And God, I decree it right now by your word. We stand in faith, we stand with hope, and we stand in believing in your power. And it is so, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I believe that. I prophesy to your mailbox unexpected income. I prophesy to your bank account, your checking account, your savings account, your 401k, your union account, that you're going to receive unexpected income overflow, supernatural debt cancellation. I prophesy credit card debts paid off, cars paid off, house note paid off, IRS bills, student loan bills paid off, in the name of doctor's bills paid off, in the name of Jesus. Supernaturally, God, do it for your glory. Now, God, as we leave this place, we leave in joy. We leave in gladness. And we leave blessing and magnifying your name. For God, we thank you for everything our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, Father. And we pray that you give us traveling mercies to lead and guide us to our next destination safely. We come up against car troubles, accidents, and we release life. We release hope. We release peace throughout this week. We call for unexpected income, stupid favor upon our life. Give us favor with God, favor with man, and that God, you will lead us and guide us each and every day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a great week on YouTube and Facebook. We love you with the love of Jesus. Amen.